Praise be to God. And things are happening. We can't even keep up with the things that are happening. Thank you, Jesus. Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 1, please? Verse 1. Let's speak it. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the what? Prophets. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, and being the brightness of his glory, and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, and having become so much better than angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. That's a lot to swallow. That's powerful. God, the creator of all, speaks to his creative beings, his loved ones, his offsprings, in the temporary reality. He's speaking to us in this temporary reality at various times and in various ways. He speaks to us in mysteries. He speaks to us in dreams and visions. He speaks to us through the gifts of the Spirit. He speaks to us through the written word, things that have been recorded of testimonies of his word and his promises. He's still speaking to us through events. Everything is, he's speaking out loud like never before. You can't miss it. If you do, there's something wrong. You're messed up. Hello? He is speaking big time. And one of the things he's doing right now, which is so powerful, he's fulfilling prophecy. He's fulfilling what? Prophecy. Go to Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Let's speak it. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on what? All flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dreams, and your young men shall see visions. I'm glad I still see visions. Praise God. And also on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Verse 30, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming and the great awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Dreams, visions, prophecies, these are revealing cosmic signs, events. There's all kinds of things going on right now. I don't know if you've, they're finding, UFOs all over the place. They're saying all of this stuff and whatever, they're nothing but demons in disguise, But anyways, all of these events are happening in a prophetic time right now. Now, what we are talking about is there is what we call a prophetic timetable. And then there's a prophetic timeline. And we are right now talking, I'm going to be talking about prophetic timetable. In Leviticus chapter 23, I must want to say sometimes prophetic roundtable. We have a prophetic roundtable every Friday, every other Friday. But there's a prophetic timetable. And when the Lord released that to me, I saw a round table. And on this table, it spun. And every, there was like a multiple sections, like a pie section, had a special prophetic event that had to come. But in them, there was seven slots that were big. And these seven slots are the seven feasts of the Lord. Because to be a prophetic timetable, it is something that recycles. And as it recycles, as something is completed, it continues to recycle until all are completed. Is everybody with me? In Leviticus 23 and verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. And I don't want to go on and on and on. Verse 8, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. On the seventh day shall be holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it because it's a rest day. So these feasts of the Lord are at appointed times. These are seven annual appointed, established by God, feasts by God. For what? For the nation of Israel, serving both historical and prophetic purposes. Now, all eyes are on Israel, and they're going to be on Israel. Why? Because that is the time clock. You see what's going on in Israel, you can see what's going on in the world. But the feasts of the Lord are specific events that will happen. There are seven feasts of the Lord. And in these feasts, the first, they're divided in two groups. The first are the feasts during the spring, and the second are the feasts of fall. Now, the spring feasts are Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. Now, Passover, we know, was Jesus fulfilled on the cross. Unleavened bread is what the spirit of leaven, evil, which Jesus descended into hell and took the death and keys and the grave away from Satan. And first fruits is resurrection. It's not Easter. It's resurrection. Amen? And then the second group is what we know as Pentecost, which is the pouring out of the Spirit, which is 50 days after the first fruits or resurrection of Christ. That's what mean Pente is. So you got Pentecost, then first fruits. Amen, which is the resurrection coming out. So we know this is 50 days after first fruits. Is everybody with me? 50 days after first fruits, 50 days after resurrection. It's known as the fall or autumn feast comes next, and that is the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets is known as the New Year. Then the Feast of Atonement. Then the Feast of Tabernacles. These feasts are the prophetic timetable that recycles every year, acknowledges and celebrated until all the feasts are fulfilled. And only Jesus, the Christ, can fulfill these feasts. These are set as divine appointments, not rituals. These are divine appointments. Jesus was born on the Feast of Trumpets. Many things started on the Feast of Trumpets. Is everybody okay? So we know that these feasts, they what? Recycle. They are, again, the prophetic timetable that recycles into pre-appointed events till all the events are complete or all the feasts are fulfilled. Then they will no longer recycle. Amen? Now, timelines do not repeat but are strategic in their purpose. They're connected to many of the timetables, but they're not timetables, they're timelines. They don't repeat, they fulfill. Is everybody with me? Go to Matthew 24. Is everybody okay? Did everybody get that? That's good. You can explain it to me later. Praise God. Matthew 24. Hallelujah. Matthew 24. In verse 3. You have to bear with me. I haven't had much sleep, but to God be the glory. The anointing is the only thing that's keeping me, and caffeine. Praise God. And verse 3, let's speak it. Now, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one does what? Deceive you." Satan's greatest weapon is deception. His power is fear, right? "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars." Are all these things going on? Yeah. "See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence, earthquakes in various places, hurricanes, tornadoes, and all kinds of stuff. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation." So we see the beginning of sorrows and then tribulation. "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." Now, this abomination is going to be when the Antichrist steps in and says, "No more sacrifices." Now, we know that, first of all, you got to have a sacrifice to stop one. So that's what they already are prepared. They already have the red heifers to start the sacrifices. They already have all the furnishings for the temple. The only thing that needs to happen is the temple mount right now where the dome is at needs to be destroyed. And I believe God's going to do that, not man. I believe lightning or something's going to hit that thing, is going to go, and then we'll be able to rebuild if that is the location. So again, the Antichrist will step in after the sacrifice. Things will be restored according to the old tradition. And the world will see it. The world will know. Everybody knows what just happened, amen, in the last event when they all blew the trumpets. Every one of them was blowing the shofar. I forgot how many there were. But it was on television. The world saw it on the feast. It was a Feast of Atonement, I believe. They were blowing the shofars. Amen. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. And verse 18, "Then let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation." So we've got beginning of sorrows, tribulation, then great tribulation. Now, remember, these are prophetic timelines. They won't repeat. Prophetic timetable repeats. But they're connected to the feasts. "For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days were shortened. Then if anyone says you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' and there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets and false evangelists and false media will rise up and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he is in a desert,' do not go out. Or, 'Look, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with the power and the great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from all the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Oh, hallelujah. Again, this is a prophetic, those are prophetic timelines coming from a prophetic timetable. We see the first phase will be false Christs and prophets and wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes. That's verses 3 to 8. There'll be a second phase, worldwide persecution against Christians, false prophets, betrayals, apostasy. That's verses 9 through 14. Verses 15 through 28 will be phase 3, which will be the tribulation. Want me to repeat these? Phase 1 is verses 3 through 8. Phase 2 is 9 through 14. Phase 3 is 15 to 28, which is tribulation. Phase 4 is the second coming, verse 29 to 31. 2 Peter chapter 3. Prophetic timetable. Hallelujah. In verse 8, verse 8 and 9, let's speak it. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Again, one day is equal to a thousand years. So one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. He's given us a prophetic timeline. It's a formula. One day with the Lord is equal to how many years? 1,000. Go to Genesis 2. Hallelujah. Verses 1 to 3. Genesis 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the what? Seventh day. So that means there are 6 days before that. Amen. So he's speaking about the 7,000th year. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he what? Rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So the seventh day here is a representation of the 7,000th year, which is called the millennium, which is the time of rest. Amen? So we see that there's a prophetic fulfillment. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years. He's talking about 7,000 years in a timeline, beginning to end. Go to Matthew 17, verse 1 through 8. Now after how many days? Which means what? 6,000 years. Is everybody with me? Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured, in other words, glorified body, before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Now, Moses represents his representation of those who died in Christ, and were brought alive again. Moses, remember, died and they came and took his body. Elijah didn't die. He was taken up alive. Amen. So we'll see this. This is known as the rapture period. This is where the glorified body comes. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when his disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. What a prophetic revelation. Amen. So we see the transfiguration, glorified body, after 6 days or after 6,000 years. Creation. Now look, here's the timeline. At creation, they've calculated out, however they calculated it, that 4008 B.C., God created. He created, everything was created. Man, so forth. That's when he created man. From 4008 B.C., which was the Feast of Trumpets, to the timeline of Jesus, to 4,000 years later, is what we call the time of the Jews. Is everybody with me? From creation up to Jesus, was the time of the Jews. Then from Jesus, amen, until the rapture will be known as the time of the Gentiles, which is 2,000 years. So you got 4,000 years at the time of the Jews, 2,000 years at the time of the Gentiles, and the 1,000 year of rest. That's 7,000 years. Is everybody with me? Everybody okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 4, so during this period, the prophetic timeline of all the feasts must be fulfilled. Of all the feasts. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Hallelujah. So we got, again, I want to repeat, the time of the Jews was from creation of man. Amen. To Jesus, 4,000 years. From Jesus to the rapture is 2,000 years. That's the time of the Gentiles. And then you have the 1 year millennium, which will be known as the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, where God has this tabernacle on earth, and we reign here for 1,000 years. Hebrews 4, verse 1 through 10. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, now you got to look at this. Okay, his rest. Not only is it God's present time in rest, but he's talking about also the millennium 1,000 year. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith in those who heard it. For he who has believed do enter that rest, as he said, so I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest or enter my millennium. Although the works are finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the what? Seventh day, which is a representation of millennium. In this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of what? Disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying to David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear my voice and not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day, which is the millennium. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Rest is talking about the millennium. Not only do we rest, in other words, the word Sabbath means a day of rest. But the Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath. We rest in him in everything we do. But there's a place where there will be a thousand-year rest called the millennium, which would be the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the last feast to be fulfilled. There will be no more prophetic timeline because everything will be fulfilled. Is everybody okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Glory. Remember, a prophetic timetable is one that recycles, things that recycle. And the, like I said, the only thing that really recycles is the feast of the Lord. Amen? Now, we know that a part of that prophetic timetable, in other words, years recycle, don't they? Days recycle. Months recycle. You know, they mess up our calendar, you know what I'm saying? Because a month should be from the full moon to a full moon. Well, we don't see that no more. So, again, there's so many things that they messed us up on that has kind of thrown our understanding of the prophetic timetable and timelines. And that's why they did it. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died in Christ, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. So the dead will rise first, then we will follow them. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. In other words, what feast is that? Feast of Trumpets. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Remember when Jesus rose from the dead and fulfilled the resurrection day, what happened? All of those he ministered to that died in that period of time, all their tombs were opened. And then when he rose, they all came out. And they all went into the cities and freaked everybody out. What a witness. So that was a powerful testimony, wasn't it? You can't beat that kind of testimony. Resurrection from dead to life. That's going to happen again on the rapture. It's going to be another testimony afterwards, after we're left. Verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up or raptured together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, the Lord is not touching the earth. We are going to meet him in the air. Does everybody get it? He's not coming to the earth. He's coming in the air. He's calling us up. So the world will see us disappear. I don't know how it's going to be. You know, they got all kinds of movies that just to close there or whatever. I think God's going to freak man out. I think they're going to see us go, whoop. They're going to, of course, they'll probably say, they're taken by UFOs. Or we were aliens already from the beginning. But we are aliens. We don't belong here. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. This caught up is known as rapture. So these, again, are prophetic timelines that are being fulfilled, but how are they being fulfilled? Through a prophetic timetable. Because it's recycled and everything. Everything's coming to a completion. What you and I are watching right now, things are being completed. Everything is being prepared. God is sending out his angels. Listen, the rapture isn't yet. people are still waiting on a rapture. I hate to tell you, but you ain't going to see it till probably 2030 or somewhere around there. If we see it then. Amen? Because I really believe we still got, you know, a little bit of time. God is desiring that everyone be saved. So there's still much more to happen. There's still more revival. There's still more signs and wonders. There's still all the things getting ready. There's still the wealth of the wicked to be transferred to the righteous. Why? To help all those who are lost. To build places and facilities. And to rescue, to feed, clothe, and shelter those who have been deceived and taken captive by deception. So that they can be trained up and be prepared to go home. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed in a rapture. Amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the what? Last trumpet, which is the feast of trumpets. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Hallelujah. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Do you see how that coordinates with all the scriptures that we just spoke about the rapture, about Jesus coming and taking the bride away? 2 Thess, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Let's speak it, please. Everybody there? Okay. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who is the Antichrist. He's going to be revealed. When that happens, then the rapture will come, which is actually mid-tribulation. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God, where? In the temple of God. So it's got to be built. Showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining him, that he may be revealed in his own time. Who's restraining him? The Holy Spirit and the body of Christ. So when you and I are removed out of the way, the Holy Spirit's also removed out of the way from restraining, and all hell's going to break loose, and that's going to be great tribulation. Verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, capital He, Jesus, Holy Spirit, who now restrains, will do so until he, the Jesus, Holy Spirit, body of Christ, is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they shall believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So God's going to let them be deceived. There'll be a time when he's done. And I'm going to close at Revelation 20 prophetic timeline, a prophetic timetable, I'm sorry, that's attached to the prophetic timelines. Revelation chapter 20, starting at verse 1. Oh, happy days. We there yet? Let's speak it. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He held hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for what? 1,000 years. That's going to be the time of rest, the millennium. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years are finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw the thrones and they that sat on them, and the judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So those who will perish during this period of time without Jesus will not be resurrected till the end of 1,000 years. And they will only be resurrected to bring for judgment. Verse 6, but blessed and holy is he who is part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That is the tabernacle feast, the time of rest of 1,000 years. So again, we have prophetic timetable attached to prophetic timelines. And we were watching everything being released and fulfilled. And when everything is fulfilled, it's over. We go home. You can eat cake. You won't gain weight. You know, you can play tennis on both sides. You can go scuba diving with no gear. Praise God. You think it, you got it. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Thank you for preparation. And, Lord, grant us the wisdom and knowledge and understanding which has been released tonight, and put it in divine order so that we may have full understanding and preparation for what's getting ready to happen, and tell others the truth so that they can get prepared too. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise God.